If you're in veterinary medicine, here's the hard truth. 50% of you feel burned out by Friday, and almost 3/4 of you have some sort of physical pain related to your job. So this isn't just about being tired. It's really about your career clock that's ticking down. But what if you could add years or even decades to the time you can do your best work? That's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Welcome to the Resilient Vet Podcast. My name is Aaron Shaw. I'm a health span coach, occupational therapist, strength and conditioning specialist. And today we're going to dive into a concept I believe can really change how vet professionals can think about their careers. This is a concept called vet span. It's kind of a cousin of lifespan or health span. Vet span isn't just about how many years you can stay in this profession. It's really about how many years that you can thrive in it, being physically capable, emotionally resilient, and really feeling fulfilled. And it's almost like being anti-burnout. I created VetSpan because I think that I've seen the toll that this profession takes on people. People I care about the most. My wife is a vet, and a lot of my friends and colleagues are vets and vet techs. And it doesn't have to be that way. So we're going to break this down today. And lucky for you, the listener, you're not just stuck with me. I have a great co-host, my co-host, Dr. Jennifer Edwards. She brings the other half of the resilience equation. She works with vet professionals on leadership and the mental and emotional and interpersonal challenges in this field. And she's going to bring the passion and give us even more in-depth knowledge so you can really protect the career that you love so much.
Thanks, Aaron, for that wonderful introduction. I'm so excited for today's topic because, boy, having been in this profession for so long, I know and I've personally experienced what it's like to burn out in many ways. And there's a lot of talk about burnout in the field right now, and I think most of it is centered around emotional and mental burnout. But the physical burnout part of the equation is equally as important. And as you are going to dive in today with our listeners, there are 5 major categories that are important. So I'm excited for this. It's important information and can really start to make a difference in people's lives and their careers.
Yeah, and it's the more research I've done on the injury rate and the burnout rate and what seems to be at times like an exodus from the field is really heartbreaking. By practice, I'm an occupational therapist, and so I'm also a provider. And the human healthcare field has similar challenges sometimes where very capable people, passionate people end up leaving because of the demands of the practice, demands of the career. So we're going to see if we can help build some resilience in the people that are listening. And we're going to do it through the following agenda. First, we're going to define what VetSpan is. We're going to talk about these pillars. So there are 5 pillars to VetSpan, which will help extend your career. And we'll dive in a little bit into the risks of ignoring these. And then I think the most important part is that we're going to leave you with some very specific action steps. So very specific things that you can start down this journey to build some resilience. So let's start with really kind of defining what is VetSpan and why now. So VetSpan is the number of years that you can maintain physical, emotional, and the mental capacity to do your best work in vet medicine. And of key importance, still love doing it. I like to think of your career as a health span. So just like health span is the quality of years in your life or the quality of years in your lifespan, VetSpan is the quality of your years in this profession. But as we talked about earlier, the problem is that if we're not careful, this career clock is ticking faster than what we want it to, earlier than what we want. Those aches and pains, the injuries, the physical and emotional fatigue that you can bring home with you, those are early warning signs. And they're really telling us that if we don't change how we're doing work, how we approach work, how we take care of ourselves, sometimes this means how we're taking care of maybe taking some of our own medicine that you may be giving to your clients, then your career may be shorter than what you want it to be. So we hit some stats right at the very beginning, but just as a review, half of you feel burned up at the end of the week. Nearly three quarters of you have some sort of ache or pain or physical discomfort from the work you're doing. And I'll say that not 100%, but there is a substantial amount of that that can be prevented when we take action.
That is so true. And I think what a lot of people, especially busy veterinarians and busy veterinary technicians, don't take into account is that it is just that. It's action. It is intentional. It is thoughtful. It has to become something somebody chooses to do. And really starting to develop into habits of various forms of which we're going to get into today. But when we are focused only on the doing of the profession, like I got to get to work, you know, I remember when I was a practice owner, I got to get to work, I got to get in there early, I've got to go through my lab results, I've got to get payroll ready, I've got to start seeing my appointments. We're so focused on the tasks of the day, the tasks of the job, that we kind of think that just by default, we're going to will ourselves into being healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it doesn't work that way. It is decisive, definitive, intentional action that is key. And so I'm so excited to continue this and bring to people what some of those actions might be and how they can start to think about it for themselves.
Yeah, I think of this as being like there's no such thing as the accidental professional athlete. You know, you don't just sort of stumble upon being exceptional at what you're doing. And the same thing with having an extended vet career. You know, there's genetics perhaps at play, but certainly it's not by accident. We need to talk about having some intentional decision making and really creating your environment and your life, the people in your surroundings to help you be as resilient as possible in this super challenging career. So we're going to talk about the five pillars of VetSpan. We're just going to go by these fairly quickly, but we're going to list them off and give a quick definition. And Jennifer, if you would kind of add in your thoughts to these and your experience with these, that would be great. Pillar number one of VetSpan is exercise and movement. This is a huge one for me. And when I talk about this with clients and in conferences and such, I could talk all day on this. Again, I'm a strength and conditioning specialist and therapist by training, but the hard facts are this. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, but the career of being a vet or a tech and being in a clinic is probably not getting physically easier, unless, I mean, dogs maybe getting a little bit heavier, who knows, maybe the rest of us are. There's still lifting, pushing, pulling, things, physical demands, squatting, contorting yourself into pretzels, and yet, as we age, we lose strength, we lose mobility, we lose muscle mass. And so it's at odds with the demands of the work that you're expected to do, that you're trying to do. So physical exercise outside of the clinic, I'm talking like an intentional exercise program here, is probably one of the best ways to reduce your risk of injury. The good news is, despite this sad physiological fact for those of us that are in middle age that realize like, dang, things are not as easy as they used to be, but the science is clear. You can gain strength, gain stamina, improve your conditioning well into your 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. I mean, the physiology is amazing. It doesn't happen by accident. There has to be some intention and being mindful about it, but a huge pillar for being resilient in vet medicine is your physical capacity. And that is really a pillar of exercise.
And with that, again, looking at things from more of a holistic perspective, obviously the impact of exercise on our physical bodies, but the impact on our emotional and mental well-being as well is tremendous. So when we move, when we exercise, we are lowering stress hormones like cortisol. We're increasing our happy hormones like serotonin, all of which impact our mood. Our mood impacts our interactions with others, our tolerance, how sensitive we are, just in general, our emotional and mental resiliency. The other thing to consider is that when you're moving, when you go out for a walk, when you take a break, and even if you're walking up and down the hallways in your practice, you're also giving your mind a break. Veterinary medicine, while it's very physical, is also an extremely intellectually taxing job. From the CSR, the vet tech, veterinarian, it doesn't matter what role you're in. We're thinking all day long. We're having to remember a million things. We're strategizing. We're answering calls or thinking about drug doses or monitoring the anesthesia. It's exhausting. And if we can take 5 minutes and move in the middle of a day and let our minds just go, and just let them relax, just turn the mind off, you will be shocked when you come back at your renewed sense of focus and clarity and calmness and peace that you can generate within yourself. And lastly, I would just say with that, there is a self-confidence in knowing that you were able to prioritize yourself, that you were able to come up against whatever stories you have around why you shouldn't be taking care of yourself physically and exercising and doing it anyway. So it's important to congratulate yourself, but just keep in mind that exercise is far beyond the actual physical body.
100%. And I would say that the last point on that is you want to make sure that the most challenging physical things that you do, the most challenging lifting and moving, those very challenging things, the most challenging things should not be what you do at work. Those most challenging things should be under a controlled environment, like a gym or your home gym or something, like to make sure that the hardest, the most you lift, hopefully it's not going to be sitting there picking up my dog saying, well, I hope I can pick this dog up. My back's kind of weak. You know, you don't want to be testing yourself at work. You want to make sure you have the capacity to do that. And you have to do that kind of on your own. This is where, why athletes spend so much time training off of the field so they can perform on the field. So let's move on to pillar number two. Second pillar is nutrition. This is our fueling. So I think so many people think like food. And I know that it's food is very complicated and personal and has a lot of emotional ties for people. But I think of nutrition as fueling. And you want to fuel your body to run well all day. You know, you don't want to run out of gas. You don't want to have a sugar roller coaster or caffeine roller coaster. Full disclosure, I've been on that roller coaster many times. I probably will still. But when I think of fueling, I want to make sure that we think about almost the analogy of like a race car. You know, race cars don't use the same fueling that you and I do when we go to 7-Eleven and fill up our vehicles. They have a high octane. They have high quality for high performance. And I'm pretty sure that if we all pulled up to the gas station one day and your low grade, mid grade, and premium level fuel was all the same price, well, I would do something I don't normally do. I would actually go for the premium stuff. I mean, it's cool. It's good. It must be something better about that because I want more performance. Same thing with fueling. We want to have steady nutrition throughout the day, and that doesn't come from donuts. It doesn't come from cookies, even though your favorite client made them for you and they taste so amazingly good. I'm not saying never eat cookies or donuts. That's absolutely not what I'm saying, but being mindful about planning snacks, having something nearby that's grab and go, simple, nutritious, some things you can just eat on the run, which is another topic I like to talk about, is how you can, you know, cheese sticks and crackers sometimes may be quick and easy, not as nice as sitting down and having a full meal, but sometimes that's the reality of being in a vet clinic. You're on the hustle, thoughtful snacks, something other than what's in the vending machine.
Yeah. And again, like everything, there are multiple sides to looking at what has somebody have good nutrition or not make the best choices as far as their nutrition. Now, one thing to remember is this is a place where a lot of self-judgment comes in. I would encourage people to let's just take the judgment and set it aside and explore. Is your nutrition how you want it to be? Is it not exactly how you want it to be? And if it's not, what might be keeping you from making the decisions and the choices that you would want to be making? And when we can explore those ideas from a place of curiosity instead of a place of judgment, you might be surprised at what comes to your awareness and what you realize. It's not about all or nothing. And it doesn't mean that if you decide to make some better choices, you know, about your eating, and then you grab that cookie that, you know, Mrs. Smith brought in, that's it. I messed up. You know, I'm terrible. No, it's about maybe eating half of the number of cookies over the course of a year, or, you know, maybe having coffee every day, but maybe skipping the afternoon run to Dunkin' Donuts or wherever you live, whatever's popular. So keeping in mind that the idea of nutrition is very much connected to so many areas of mental well-being and emotional well-being, and that is really going to be what stands in our way, because anybody can walk into a grocery store and buy fruits and vegetables and eat well. Like, theoretically, if that's all that was there was that behavior, everybody would be doing it. So take a look at what's behind the scenes, what might be stopping you. And if you can't quite seem to get there, even though you really want to, work with somebody, get some help. There's tons of resources out there. There are coaches like us that can help you. There's therapists, I mean, dietitians, nutritionists, you name it. But it's definitely worth taking the time looking into it. When you have good nutrition, just like Aaron said, you've got clarity of mind, you have more tolerance and patience for people, you're less agitated, you're less tired. And it's just an important area to make a priority and start to dive in and explore.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of clarity of mind and sort of energy, let's move on to pillar three, which is sleep. Sleep is the legal performance enhancing activity that we can all do. And it is worth investing time to make sure you learn how to sleep well. Sleep is where your body recovers from the physical wear and tear of the day, the emotional wear and tear of the day, the cognitive demands of the day. These are all things that are happening, sort of tidying up from this past day, but it's also equally preparing you for the next day. And I love reading about sleep. Interestingly, it helps me go to sleep because I read right before I go to bed. But I'm reading a book right now, just a shameless plug. It's called Why We Sleep by Dr. Matthew Walker. I think it's an interesting book. It goes into the science of it for those of us that both want some tips, but also kind of just curious of the stages of sleep and what actually really happens. Super interesting. But from a practical standpoint, on the floor in the clinic, if you are sleep deprived, as most Americans are, you are impairing your problem-solving ability, which means your clinical decisions are being impaired if you're not sleeping well consistently, your reaction times, your risk for injury, and is even correlation to your overall health and even like weight, you know, weight management, which I think a lot of people are always stressed about their ability to manage their weight. That is also a relationship to quality sleep, consistent quality sleep. And so I think generally speaking, a lot of us are sleep deprived. I think we kind of get used to being a little sleep deprived, but if you want to perform the best for your patients, for your clients, and to still have energy when you go back home to your family, prioritize sleep.
Yeah. The way I like to look at sleep is it's kind of like an emotional reset button. How many times have you been anxious about something or upset or stressed out over a situation and you go to sleep and you wake up the next day and suddenly things don't seem quite so bad? When we don't get enough sleep, we don't allow that process to occur. And then what happens, kind of like Aaron was alluding to, everything is more difficult. We don't have clarity of mind. And like I said earlier, veterinary medicine is a very intellectually taxing job. And I know from the perspective of the doctor, because that's the role that I have played, and the manager, because I've played that role as well, it is so hard when you're trying to calculate drug doses or you have a patient that you have to put under anesthesia and there's just that faint blur over your brain. What can happen then is we start to have a fear of making a mistake, or God forbid you do make a mistake. And then what is the emotional impact of having to deal with that when you know, like, gosh, I know better. I would never do that. Why did I do that? It's because I was tired. So the impacts of not enough sleep, I mean, beyond the physical health impacts are far and wide. You know, we all show up every day and experience every moment of every day inside specific types of energy. And, you know, I talk a lot about energy. It's multiple different types of energy coaching certifications, because our energy does not impact how we experience life. Our energy is how we experience life. And I'll talk a lot about this in more detail in further episodes. I won't go into it now. But when we look at energy, there are six categorical influencers on energy. that I explore with my clients so that they can enhance their energy as much as they can in life, i.e. enhancing their experience of life. And 5 out of the 6 categories are directly impacted by quality of sleep. I would say the only one that isn't is environmental. But when we look at our spiritual state, mental state, emotional state, physical and social, all of it is impacted by our quality of sleep. So it impacts everything. It impacts our relationships, our moods, our tolerance, our clarity, our mistakes, you name it. On top of the physical, it's incredibly important.
Yeah. Nothing in life is better if you don't sleep enough.
Right.
And the converse is true. So everything is worse if you don't have enough sleep. So let's move on to pillar 4, emotional well-being. And this one, I think, Jennifer, you can run with this, but we know the emotional demands of being a vet, being a tech, being in a clinic. And so taking the time and attention to fortify and build emotional resilience is key for a long career.
Absolutely. And everywhere we turn in vet med these days, that's what people are talking about, because it has been ignored for decades and now it's rearing its toll. And sadly, veterinary medicine has not gotten any easier over time. And there's things people deal with today that perhaps when I graduated, I wasn't even dealing with. So when we talk about emotional well-being, we're talking about managing stress. We're talking about setting boundaries, working in environments that are safe and supportive. And if your environment where you work is not safe and supportive, maybe find a new environment to work. Nobody's going to, just like honestly, all of these pillars that Aaron's talking about today, nobody is going to take care of your emotional well-being for you. This is an area where each person needs to be responsible for themselves, exploring how to understand that you're worth it, that it's worth it to make sure that you are emotionally healthy, that you're supported, that you're having good relationships at work. Keep in mind that emotionally also, one of the biggest things we see in veterinary medicine is the lack of expression of emotion. Emotions are energy in motion. Energy is meant to be released. And what that means is that emotions are meant to be felt and expressed in healthy ways. It doesn't mean we go screaming at everybody when we feel like it. But when we don't, when we have that euthanasia, when we have that client that yells at us or whatever situation, and we stuff it down and we stuff it down and we stuff it down, that is not going to be a strategy for sustainability long term. It just doesn't work. Now, you might stuff it down for the moment because you have to go into another appointment and you can't sit in the corner and cry. But perhaps later that evening, you take a moment and you stop and you feel what you felt in that moment earlier in the day, and you allow those tears to roll, or you talk about it with a colleague or a friend or your partner at home. So this pillar is obviously near and dear to my heart because it's what I'm passionate about. And I've lived through the downside of it personally. So just protecting yourself, it's just, this is a key part of vet span, longevity in veterinary medicine. You've got to take care of yourself mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, we'll dive deeper into the details of some more episodes coming up on the emotional well-being side of it for sure. Last but not least, the 5th pillar is preventative care. And this is where ergonomics and body mechanics come in. Lifting, pushing, pulling, twisting, moving tables, and really learning how to make sure that the environment and your behaviors and your decisions in the moment help keep your body safe. And that is essential because the injury rate in the profession is frankly so high. It's really a matter of when more than if, as far as being injured. So it is essential to have an awareness of ergonomics and body mechanics.
Yeah. And this just ties back in very quickly to what I was saying earlier about you need to know that it's okay to feel that you're worth it, to feel that you are worth speaking up. If something is too heavy, if your back feels like it's just on that verge, like one more thing and it's going to tweak, that you can say, I can't lift this Great Dane onto the x-ray table, even if you have 3 other people helping you. It is okay to speak up. And this is where I will emphasize the most strongly, leaders You must create psychologically safe environments for your team, your doctors, I don't care who, what role they're in, for everybody to feel that they can speak up when they don't feel safe, to speak up when something is too much for them, with no repercussions and no shame, and that something will be then implemented to protect them. That's, I cannot emphasize that enough. It is critically important that people can advocate for themselves when it comes to safety.
100%. That's a key component of VetSpan, of having this long career. So the five pillars we're talking about, again, to summarize, are exercise, nutrition, sleep, emotional well-being, and preventative care, which would be ergonomics and body mechanics. This is the foundation of VetSpan. You don't have to master them all right here, right now, but the concept, let's start putting that in our mind. Thinking ahead to future episodes, we'll dig into more of these. You know, there's many subtopics of each one of these, but we know that we can't ignore this. It is, you're worth more. And as Jennifer's been saying, like, you have to look in the mirror and say, hell yeah, I am worth like making a decision, speaking my mind, taking care of myself. Because if you can't protect yourself, you may not have protection from anybody else. So it's worth owning it. You are 100% worth it. If you're injured or knocked out or out of the career, you're not going to be able to provide service for the people who need you, your teammates. So you're worth it, 100%. So
yeah,
real quickly, let's kind of just go through like where to start from here. So if we were to give you just a couple of tips, let's say, of these pillars, that from my point of view, I think if you're not currently exercising outside of the clinic, so you have like an actual exercise program 2 to 3 days a week, focusing on building your physical resilience, I think that's a great place to start. You want to make sure that you have, I mean, as we reviewed and you know all too well, the demands of veterinary medicine, you may not have known this when you signed up for it, because maybe you sign up because you like working with animals, then tell you that you were going to be a semi-pro football player, the demands. So you have to have physical capacity. So being on a regular strength training program is excellent. And second to that, maybe being aware of some ergonomic and body mechanic things. These things that once you're physically injured, the length of your vet span, the length of your potential career starts to shrink. If you physically can't tolerate, if you're physically uncomfortable when you walk in the door and the things you have to do, you're really compromising the length of time you're going to be in this career.
Absolutely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And with that, when we talk about just getting started, it's very difficult to get started doing something or going somewhere when we don't actually know what it is that we want to do or where we want to go. So start by defining your goals. What does all of this mean to you? What did you hear today in this episode? Get out a piece of paper and take each one of these five pillars, write it at the top, and write down what's working, what's not working for you, or what's not working as well as you would like it to. And what then would you want? What do you want that to look like? So then you at least know, like, oh, okay, here's what I want. Right now I'm sleeping 6 hours a night. It's not working so great. I would like 7.5 or 8. Write that down. What do you actually want? Because until you define that, it's very hard to start taking steps towards creating it. And think about it also in terms of like big long-term goals. Like say like a year from now, what would you like in terms of nutrition? What do you want your diet to look like in a year? But it's important also to think little. What are some little tiny baby steps that you can start to implement today or tomorrow and this week? You know, maybe one out of every 3 times the client brings the cookies, you have one instead of every time, right? It doesn't mean you can never have a cookie. But start to think of little baby steps. Increase the sleep by 1 hour, 3 nights a week. Whatever it is that you need, start to develop a plan so you know where to start going. And remember, taking care of yourself is not selfish. It is okay to set boundaries at home and at work. When we take care of ourselves, we have the capacity to serve others. It helps your colleagues. It helps your clients. It helps your family. It helps your friends. It is not selfish. It's incredibly important.
100%. And I would echo, I can't say that any better than what you just said, Jennifer. I mean, I love the idea of my coaching clients, I always think, what does success look like in a year? don't think about wholesale change in the next week or two and sleeping perfectly and eating well and get an exercise program. Think like, what's the long-term play? And then give yourself credit when you do sleep for 30 more minutes, one or two nights a week. Just start with something small and bite-sized. And I promise you, we know this objectively, those little tiny changes done again and again and again over time, you are a different person in a year. But it
absolutely
and it's sustainable when you do it that way versus like, I'm going to, you know, throw everything away in the fridge to start from scratch. That's not the best way to start.
Well, because what we do is we start to build new habits little by little. We don't build a habit with a flip of a switch. And when people try to do that, they're setting themselves up for failure. So little steps. And as Aaron just said, and I just wanted to kind of call that out, celebrate your wins. Acknowledge yourself for even the little, like, if you ate four cookies this week and walked away from one cookie, celebrate walking away from that one cookie. It's a win.
Yep. Well, if this conversation hit home for you, we would love to hear from you. You can find both of us through the show notes on this specific podcast. You can also find us on LinkedIn. Happy to connect. Love to hear your ideas on this episode, on future episodes. If you want us to dig into a specific topic, let us know. Let us do the homework behind the scenes and present something to you guys that's practical and useful for you.
Absolutely. We're here to be a resource. We're here to hopefully inspire you to develop your resilience in veterinary medicine for many years to come. So thanks for listening, and we look forward to hearing from you.
All right. Thanks for listening.